Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. St. Paul said to his beloved brother in the faith and fellow pastor Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 1, I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois, in your mother Eunice, and now, I am sure, dwells in you as well. St. Paul is commending these women for doing something that seems so simple to us, maybe even seems a little too ordinary or maybe even a little bit boring, teaching their children the faith, teaching their grandchildren the faith, and he commends them and immortalizes them in Holy Scripture. I remember how that faith was passed down from your grandmother to your mother. Now, I am sure, dwells within you. That living faith that gives us the gospel of salvation, that gives us the message that Christ shed his blood to save us, how it was passed down from one generation to the next, and the flame has not gone out. And the world might look at that and just see something ordinary, maybe even a little bit boring, might even look down on it, but St. Paul certainly does not do that. He commends these women as heroes of the faith, who did, like Jesus said at the end of our gospel reading, only what was their duty, what they were called to do, giving the word of God to their little children. But that was no small thing in the eyes of St. Paul, and that was no small thing in the eyes of God, because it has eternal, lasting power. When those women were passing down the faith from one generation to the next, they were giving their children the message of eternal life and salvation. It had superb significance in their life, and it has eternal significance. Because when we receive the faith passed down to us, we receive eternal life. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our Lord endures forever. These things don't go away. They're not just ordinary, they're not just small. They are significant for our life now, and they are eternally significant for our life to come. And that's exactly what St. Paul was saying at the end of the reading, when he urged Timothy, follow the pattern of the sound words that you have heard from me, in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. By the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, guard the good deposit entrusted to you. You have been given the gospel. The message of salvation in Jesus Christ has been entrusted to you. And he says, guard it, keep it, cling to it throughout your entire life. And then what else are we called to do? Pass it on. Pass it on to the people that God has placed in our life. Our children, our grandchildren, maybe for teachers, students, or maybe for pastors, parishioners as well. Maybe friends that are just connected to us. You've been given so much. You've been given the message of eternal life and salvation in the gospel. It has been entrusted to you. We are also called to pass it on to the people who have been entrusted to us. That's the message that our text has for us today. Guard and keep the gospel that has been entrusted to you. And give that gospel to those who have been entrusted to you, the people, children, grandchildren, students, friends. Take what's been entrusted to you and give it to the ones who have been entrusted to you. And when we think about how that occurs, how does the faith pass from one generation to the next, sometimes we wrongly think that it just happens automatically. You know, kids will just get Christianity somewhere out there in society. They'll come back to it eventually. Maybe they'll come around for no good reason that I can think of, but I kind of just hope it happens. We can see from the history of the scriptures that this is never actually how it occurs. If you've ever read the book of Judges in the Old Testament, or you've read the book of 1 and 2 Kings or 1 and 2 Chronicles in the Old Testament, you see how quickly one faithful generation can lead to another generation that completely falls away. That is, ignoring the one true God and even worshiping other gods. It really doesn't take that much at all, and it's happening all the time in the Old Testament. There's almost this cycle in the book of Judges, where the people are faithful for a while, and then they fall away. And when they fall away, things start getting really bad. And when things are getting really bad, then they start repenting and turn back to God. But only then, when they've been crushed by the consequences of their own actions. But what this should tell us is that the faith is not just automatically, randomly, haphazardly passed down from one generation to the next. But rather, it is passed down through diligent and careful teaching. Like Eunice and Lois passed down to Timothy, who then carefully and diligently taught his own congregation. It doesn't happen randomly. It happens through the preaching of the word. And most importantly, it happens through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the thing we have to keep in mind first and foremost, that the faith is passed down from one generation to the next, not by our own power, but by the power of the Holy Spirit. But then we can ask, how does that occur? Are we just supposed to wander around yearning to be zapped by the Holy Spirit? Or maybe whipping ourselves until we have some kind of ecstatic spiritual experience? How does the Bible actually tell us that the Holy Spirit comes upon us? Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. And we know that faith is given to us only by the Holy Spirit. And then this is what St. Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 1. Follow the pattern of sound words that you have heard from me, in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. By the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, guard the good deposit entrusted to you. If we're asking, how is the faith passed from one generation to the next? Or how does the Holy Spirit come upon us? We have to understand that it's not just random, it's not just haphazard, it's not really even a question that we have to go out somewhere to search for, but rather the scriptures tell us very clearly that it happens through the word. It happens through the word of Christ that was preached to you through the apostles, recorded in the scriptures, and is preached to you today. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. God always chooses to come to us through means. Maybe you remember that phrase from confirmation class, the means of grace, the ways that God gives himself to us. And those means are his holy word. Those means are holy baptism, the water combined with the word where Jesus joins you to himself. Those means are the Lord's Supper, where the word of Christ is attached to the bread and wine, and Jesus gives you his true, real, present body and blood to eat and to drink. Jesus doesn't want you to go searching under every rock to try to find him. He says, here I am, right here. In baptism, the preaching of the word, the Lord's Supper, look for me there. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing comes through the word of Christ. And when we come to this realization that God works through means, that he comes to us through his word, this gives us the amazing realization that we don't have to wonder where to look for God. He tells you. The God of the entire universe, who created all things and gives himself to you, became human flesh to die for you. He speaks to you. He speaks to you through his word. He speaks to you through the scriptures. He speaks to you through the preaching of the gospel in the church. What an amazing realization this is. And we have the privilege of knowing that this God doesn't want to be far away from you, but he wants to be near you. He wants to continually give himself to you through his word and through his sacraments. Like Jesus says, wherever two or three are gathered around my name, there I am among them. And we know that he constantly wants to give us his Holy Spirit through the word to keep us in the faith and strengthen us in the faith. And then even the most amazing realization is that all of this comes to us by a gift. Like St. Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy 1:9, who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began. We understand that faith is not just some random or haphazard thing or just a tiny part of our life, but it's something that's truly lived in. Just like the Holy Spirit lives in us and dwells in us, like St. Paul was saying, that the Holy Spirit lives and dwells in Timothy. But when we come to this amazing realization that God wants to come to us through the Word and through his sacraments, this also gives us a sobering reminder that if we ever get to the point where we are neglecting the sacraments and the Word, where we're not hearing, when we're refusing and blocking out the Word of God, or just kind of forgetting about it after a while, then we should expect that that faith will be extinguished. We should expect that that faith will go out. This is why St. Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy 1:6, "For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands." And what St. Paul is talking about there when he says the gift given to you through the laying on of my hands is the particular gift given to Timothy to be a pastor in his church, given to him through the laying on of his hands. That is not something that's given to every pastor, but the advice given to Timothy from Paul can be said to every Christian. Because all of you have been anointed with the Holy Spirit through baptism. All of you have been anointed with the Holy Spirit in that you came to faith at all. So you have been given the gift of the Holy Spirit. So the advice that St. Paul says works for you as well. Fan into flame the gift that was given to you. What's he talking about here? The flame of faith needs fuel. Just like your lamp, or your candle, or your fire in the backyard. The flame needs fuel. And what is that fuel? It is God's Word. God's Word that gives us his Holy Spirit. Because whenever we start to say, well, I've got my faith, and I'm fine all on my own, so I'm just going to go off all by myself, and I'll be fine, it never works out. That is not a way to nurture faith. That's a surefire way to put out faith. In the same way that you can imagine if you just take that one coal from the fire and put it way off by itself, it's going to go out. The faith needs fuel, and that fuel is the Word of God and the Holy Spirit given to us through the Word of God. And when we realize this, we should evaluate our lives. How much is the Word of God present in my life? Is the Word of God something that's kind of just a side piece of my life? Or is it the center? Is it something that my life is firmly grounded in? And that's what I'm going to be talking about today. And like I talked about with Bible study, with spiritual disciplines. And I'm going to be talking about three things in particular. I'm going to be talking about church. I'm going to be talking about prayer. And I'm going to be talking about Bible reading, both ourselves and with our families. is this the only thing that can be said about spiritual discipline or ways to get the Word of God in your life? No. But I'm just talking about core essential structures for our life. First, talking about church. We have to understand that church is something that is central to our life. In Acts 2:42, it says that all the disciples were gathered together around the teaching of the apostles, the breaking of the bread, the prayers, and the fellowship. And when you understand what that's all about, it sounds a lot like church. The breaking of the bread is the Lord's Supper. The teaching of the apostles is the Word of God, the prayer, and the fellowship. In the early church, that was the mark of what it meant to be a Christian. If you're a Christian, this is what you're going to be doing, gathered around the fellowship, around these gifts of God. And the same thing is true today as well. What it means to be a Christian is to be gathered constantly around the gifts of God, His Word and His sacrament, and together with the fellowship of other believers. That's what St. Paul is talking about in Hebrews chapter 10. When he warns the believers, do not neglect to meet together, as is the habit of some. This isn't something we can just go off and do all on our own, but church, the fellowship of all of us together around the gifts of God, is essential for our life of faith. And there are so many things going on in all of our lives. Whether that's school or work or all the different kinds of activities everybody's involved in, there's so much going on. It almost feels chaotic sometimes. And sometimes all the various different things going on threaten to nudge church out of the way. Are these things more important than church? Maybe if there's some kind of conflict between the two, then, you know, you might have to pick the thing rather than church. But what I would like to suggest to you today, and what I hope and pray can be the constant thing in everybody's life, is that church would be the center. Church would be the immovable rock that is just there. On Sunday mornings, church and Bible study, that's non-negotiable. That it is immovable. That it's not even a question when that something could ever even come into conflict with it. That church is just a constant. I know I'm going to church and Bible study and Sunday school each and every week. Unless there's some kind of terrible emergency, I just know I'm going to be there. And obviously I'm not saying that you automatically stop being a Christian if you miss a Sunday. But what I am saying is that we have to think about the habit of the thing. Sometimes that one Sunday missed very easily turns into two or three or months at a time, and then next thing you know, have I really been fed with the Word of God? Am I receiving the gifts God wants me to have? These are the questions that we have to ask ourselves. And we also have to shift a mindset between from have to go to church to get to go to church. Maybe you did this when you were growing up and you were a teenager. Mom and Dad, do I have to go to church? Maybe they answered this way. Sure, you don't have to go to church, but really, you get to go to church. Because when we recognize what's going on in church, we realize what a great privilege for us church is. That it is the God of the entire universe wanting to speak to you and give himself to you. Where else would you rather be on a Sunday morning? So maybe when you were a teenager, or if you're answering a teenager, or maybe yourself at any kind in your life, do I have to go to church? Remind yourself, that's where God wants to give himself to me. And if God wants to give himself to me there, that's where I want to be. I get to go to church. Moving on to talk about prayer. Jesus assumes that we will pray. In Matthew chapter 6, he says over and over again, when you pray. Not if you pray, but when you pray. And he invites us to pray. when he gives us the Lord's Prayer and he says, pray in this way, our Father, he invites us to pray to our Father who is in heaven as dear children ask their dear Father. What an amazing privilege you have that the God of the whole universe has open ears to you and to your every need. Never think that you are so insignificant that you can't give your cares to God. He wants you to. He encourages and invites you to. So prayer will be a constant of the Christian life. How often? When? Well, that can vary. St. Paul says, pray without ceasing. And that would be wonderful. That would be great. That should be what's going on in the Christian life. But sometimes that's hard to do. So I suggest starting here. Psalm 55, verse 17 says, I cry out to the Lord evening, morning, and noon. Sometimes it's helpful if we have these structures in our day like evening, morning, and noon to know I'm going to pray here. When I wake up in the morning, I'll pray. I acknowledge that God gave me life today. When I go to bed, I pray. I acknowledge that God protected me this day, and I ask that he would keep me this night. A great way to do this is with Luther's morning prayer and Luther's evening prayer. Tie prayer to the stuff that you're already doing. Waking up, eating, going to bed. That's what Luther suggests in the Small Catechism. Pray at meals, with your family, with yourself, even in public. And then also another thing I'll say about prayer is use the Lord's Prayer for your own purposes of prayer. Don't just rattle through it and act like it's just some insignificant words, but know that it is the prayer given to you by your Lord Jesus Christ, and it is the perfect prayer. Everything that you could ever want or ask for is in the Lord's Prayer. So take the Lord's Prayer piece by piece. In each petition, insert the things that are going on in your life into the petitions given to you in the Lord's Prayer. And you will find that there's a place for them. There's a place for everything that's going on with you into what Jesus has invited you to pray in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, how does this apply to my life? Hallowed be God's name, how does this apply to my life? Thy will be done. Anything that you're going through can fit under that one. We all know that. Moving on to the next portion, talking about Bible reading. Sometimes we think that, you know, maybe it's enough just to hear the scripture readings and the sermon, and that is good. That is wonderful. Those are the gifts that God gives to his church. But also we want the Word of God to dwell in our lives in every aspect, to take it home with us, to study, learn, and read God's Word. So build a habit of reading the Word of God on your own and with your family through family devotions. At the very beginning, don't fret about exactly how much, but build the habit, a time and a place where you're hearing and reading the Word of God. And then if you want to talk about plans, talk to me or look on the internet. There's plenty of things. But the thing is, find something. Open your Bible and read it. And know that everything that you ever read in the Bible is pointing forward to Jesus, pointing to the gifts that he wants to give you. So when I say all these things, talking about going to church, talking about prayer, talking about Bible reading, I don't want this to just sound like a list of rules. I don't want it to sound legalistic. I don't want it to sound like some kind of finger wagging. But rather, I want it to be encouragement, to receive the gifts that Jesus wants to give you. Know what is given to you in the gospel, like St. Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 1. In which has now been manifested through the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. That's the message that we have. That's what we all cling to. Jesus abolishing death and bringing light and immortality, life and immortality to light through the gospel. That's what we all want to shine in our lives each and every day. That's what the Holy Spirit wants to have on our minds constantly each and every day. There are going to be times where we fall short. There are going to be times where we look back on our life and wished we would have heard the Word of God or read the Word of God or taught the Word of God more than we did. And when we realize that, we should repent, but also know that we receive forgiveness from Jesus. Receive forgiveness from Jesus through His blood shed on the cross, and then know that His Holy Spirit empowers us to do what we are given to do. To speak the Word of God to those who have been entrusted to us. To hear the Word of God each and every day. We will fail, but Jesus will continually forgive us. He will pick us up, and He will give us His Word through His Spirit once again. Remember that all of this is that Jesus' victory in His suffering, death, and resurrection would be at the forefront of our minds. That our life and our salvation through the gospel of Jesus Christ would be central to everything that we do, think, and say. See this as living in the one who gives you life. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.